Welcome to the Sean Stevenson Show. I'm Sean Stevenson, your host and professional speaking guide. You have a message to share, and I can teach you how to get it to millions. The Sean Stevenson Show, the best resource for building a lucrative speaking business and a fulfilling life. Enjoy the show. Hello, my friend. I'm so glad that you're here. So let's jump into it. In segment one, we call it Behind Closed Doors. And behind closed doors, I have been really scared so many times while building my business of speaking, while building all my businesses. You know, I want to expose the guru that is me and tell you I've had so many opportunities throughout my career where I was scared shitless. When I thought to myself, what did I just get myself into? What the hell was I thinking? How am I going to survive this? Who did I think I was to pull this crap off? You know, there's this moment in our career, many moments in our career, where we take these leaps of faith. And in the moment when we're taking this leap of faith, we're like, I got this, yes. And then we get into this and things get difficult. And they get heavy, and we think, oh shit, did I just bite off more than I could chew? Did I just sign up for something that I'm not built to handle? What if I fail? What if I make a complete failure of myself and literally destroy my image and have everybody watch me and see me as the fraud that I am? You know, it doesn't matter who you respect in any industry. I promise you, they've been scared. I'm going to give you some examples throughout my career when I've been really scared. And I hope they serve as a good reminder the next time you're scared that you're not alone. And maybe they'll give you some ideas on how to handle when you're scared. You know, I've got four examples here to share with you when I've been really scared in my career. The first one took place about 4 years into my speaking career. I was in front of a church group and I gave a speech to a youth group. And after my talk, a young lady came up to me. She was probably sixth or seventh, maybe eighth grade at the oldest. And she said, Sean, can I talk to you privately? And I said, what's going on? And she kind of pulled me over. She didn't want other people to see. And she rolled her sleeves up, and there were cuts all up and down her arms. And she said, why do I do this to myself? Now, I was only about 4 years into my speaking career, which probably put me in my early 20s. I didn't have a damn clue. I knew nothing about self-mutilation. I didn't know what the heck had happened to her. I mean, for a minute, I thought, did your cat scratch you? And then when I realized that she had inflicted those wounds, I was baffled. And more than that, I felt helpless. You see, back then, I wasn't trained to be anything but a motivational speaker. And I was kind of embarrassed and ashamed that I didn't have any more skills, that I had no advice for her. So I did what I knew to do, and that was to be honest. And I said, sweetie, I don't know. I don't know why you're doing this, but I'm going to go find out. And I went back to school to become a therapist. I spent 8 more years going on into my postgraduate work to become a doctor and figure out how the mind works. I fell in love with studying the unconscious mind and how it rules us and how can we imprint new thoughts into our mind and let go of the old negative programming. But at that time, I didn't have any of those skills. But I gotta say, as scared as I was, it was a pivotal moment. I was able to take action, and it took me some time, but I finally had the answers to those types of questions. By becoming a professional listener, I was a much better professional speaker. But in that moment, I was very scared. Another thing that happened in my career that was very scary was the first time I decided, once I became a therapist, to really go out there and make it a go. I remember signing my first office lease. It was in this gorgeous blue skyscraper that was about 35 stories tall out in the middle of Oak Brook, Illinois. And my rent, all those years ago, it was something like $1,500 a month. And I was petrified because I had no idea I was going to get my first client. And I thought, this is it, I'll go get the office. You know that quote, if you build it, they will come? What they didn't tell you is that's bullshit. That you need to get the customers, you need to get the prospects paying attention to you to make the money so that you can pay for your office. Well, I didn't know that at the time. I just jumped right in, got this fancy, swanky office with a receptionist desk where they took all my calls. And I remember the first day after they gave me the keys and they closed the door behind me, and I had this beautiful view out this skyscraper window, or four giant floor-to-ceiling windows, and I thought, what the hell did I just do? And my family was a part of my business at the time. They were wondering the same thing. I remember for the first month, one of my family members wouldn't even talk to me because this individual was so in disagreement with my decision to take out that leap of faith in myself, to invest in that experience of $1,500 a month. But you want to know something? As scary as it was, I hustled my ass off. I got clients to pay me in the beginning $500 a session that would be a day long. And then I got the courage to raise my fees to $1,000 a day. And then $5,000. And then $10,000. And then $15,000. And then $20,000. And now we are making incredible amounts of money working with clients one-on-one. I have a very unique practice that I house in my office to help people therapeutically who are at the top of their game in life but are struggling personally with some emotional blockage. You know, I wouldn't have built this career, developed this side of my business as a therapist, if I wouldn't have taken out my first office. If I wouldn't have taken that leap of faith at that $1,500 a month, if I wouldn't have been scared. The third experience that I was thinking about where I was really, really scared was the first time I hired an employee. They weren't even technically an employee, they were a subcontractor, but they were somebody that I paid to help me with my career, answer emails, make phone calls, do administrative work. And I remember the first time I hired this person, I thought, oh my God, what did I do? I just took somebody on. I agreed to paying them a certain hourly rate. I might have just paid them a monthly salary. But I remember that first employee, that first contractor that I brought into my company and said, will you help me? Will you be on my team? And then when they agreed and started working, I thought, holy shit, what did I just do? How am I going to make payroll? How am I going to make sure that I continue to support this person? This career of mine isn't just about me. It doesn't matter if I fail anymore because of me. It matters because somebody else's livelihood depends on it. And I was so scared to have my first team member. But you know what? I've gone on to have many people on my team. And I've grown and shrunk my team over the course of my career. And I gotta say, I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't been scared out of my mind to have that first person come onto my team. So something recent that I have to share with you is, I finally moved out of traditional office space. I had offices all around Chicago, and then I moved to Scottsdale, Arizona, and had nice offices all throughout Scottsdale. And finally, I took another leap. I left the traditional office setting, and I said, we have to do it differently. We have to grow. We have to be willing to try something out of the box. So I rented a mansion. A mansion with a beautiful view. Why did I do that? Because now when my employees come to work, they're in a wonderful setting with a kitchen and private offices and a big great living room where we can hold large events here at the company headquarters. And I gotta say, things are amazing. Even though it's scary that I quadrupled my overhead, I took this leap of faith. And as scary as it is to make the rent every single month and to think about how are we going to continue to grow this thing in this new place. And now we have to have house manager that handles the cooking, the cleaning, and all the other aspects of this new facility. It's going to be okay. See, if you're not scared, you're basically signaling to me that you're not playing a big enough game, that you're not out of your comfort zone, you're not squirming, and if you're not squirming, you're not going to do anything great or sizable or of impact on this planet. Please hear me. You're going to be scared. You're going to be scared when you don't have the answers. You're going to be scared when you take out rent or a facility or equipment or take on employees. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to always be comfortable. And some things will fall on their face. Some moments, you're going to take a leap of faith. You're going to invest in yourself. And it's not going to pan out. Not everything I've done has worked. Some employees had to be fired. And sometimes we had to leave office space or shrink office space because it wasn't working. There are things behind closed doors that aren't always pretty. But it doesn't matter. Because if you're not scared, you're not doing anything of value. And hopefully some of my examples of when I was scared and how I handled it will be there for you in the dark, scary times in your life and your career. Remember, confidence is a byproduct of taking acts of courage. If you want more confidence, you have to be doing things that scare you, because courage, those courageous acts that we must take, they're not always sexy. They're usually the times when you're squirming most. But the confidence is the reward that you get when you come out the other side. Segment number two, I like to call, I've been thinking. And I've been thinking that my greatest pains made me into the strongest badass. My greatest pains made me into the strongest badass. And I've listed some painful moments, some things that really stung, that were really intense. And maybe you could call them times when I was scared, yes, but they really hurt. And I want to tell you what I gained from them, because you need to see that in your life, your greatest pains developed your greatest strengths. A few years ago, I was out walking my dog, and I went into the post office to pick up a package. And as I was coming out of the post office, I had my dog tied to my wheelchair. And there was another dog inside the post office on the other side of the counter, and he started to bark. And that scared my dog, so my dog went running after that sound. And it jerked my wheelchair so hard that it flipped the wheelchair sideways, tipped me out of the wheelchair, and I came down hard onto my head. I slammed sideways. The whole wheelchair tipped over to the side. And I cracked my skull. And I broke almost every major bone on the right side of my body. I broke my arm, my elbow. I broke my femur, my ankle, I broke several different ribs, I had multiple bruises, I had bleeding on the brain, I had hemorrhaging, I had actually swelling of my brain where they thought that I was going to have to go into surgery and have to have a hole drilled into my skull to relieve the pressure. All of these things happened because of this one moment. And I gotta tell you, it sucked. It brought months of painful recovery. And I gotta tell you that in that horrible pain, I gained a strength that has helped me to develop my business. And that was, I spent many nights in such agony that I learned how to stay up 24 hours without any sleep. I learned to have multiple days of zero sleep, and I was able to convince my brain that sometimes you're not going to be able to get sleep. Sometimes you're going to have to pull all-nighters. Sometimes you're going to have to push yourself. And while I'm not condoning that you push yourself constantly to never get sleep, what that painful moment taught me is that some nights you're not going to get rest in life. And you're going to be okay. You're going to survive. That's what I learned. Now, you do what your body needs to do, but that was my takeaway from that painful experience. Another moment happened when I was a little boy. I had rods put into my legs to straighten out my legs because my bone disorder caused the bones to bend over time, and my legs kind of look like boomerangs, if you will. So they would break my legs in the hospital and shove a steel rod, kind of like a crochet hook, deep into my bone to straighten out the leg. Well, my bones and my body didn't like that. And it rejected one of the rods, literally pushing it out through the skin. And I was raced to the hospital where they had to pull the rod from my leg. And I wasn't under any anesthesia. I didn't have any major medication to numb the pain. It was excruciating. It felt like somebody had stuck a vacuum on my kneecap and turned my leg inside out. It was horrible. But you know what I learned? That I could withstand anything. If I could get through that, I could handle any challenge in my life. And even though that happened when I was a little boy, I still use it as a reference point that I can withstand anything, no matter how intense it might be. The last example I want to tell you of a great pain that gave me an incredible lesson. Not too long ago, I was on the highway driving from Los Angeles to Phoenix, and I was with a group of my students that I was teaching in the speaking industry. They were part of my group coaching program. And we hit a semi going 75 miles an hour, and the front of our car got completely destroyed, and it was very near shearing the car in half. It was so scary. We were able to pull the car over, even though the engine was dead. And we were able to call for help, get the police there. And as scary as that was, and as much trauma that it induced, and we all had injuries because of it, I learned that life is short, that it can be ripped away from you in a second. And what are you doing on this planet? Like, if you could die at any moment, are you living the life that you're proud of? Are you doing the things that matter most, or are you just kind of drifting? One scary moment taught me to take my life more seriously, and I have taken massive action since that accident on that highway. So I want you to look at your painful moments and figure out what strength did that moment give you? In this last segment, lucrative speaker tip, I want you to study the legends of speaking. Look online. There's so many great resources. YouTube is probably the best. Look up some of the best speakers, people like Tony Robbins, people like Les Brown, Wayne Dyer, Shawn Stevenson. Well, okay, that last one is a little biased. But I want you to study those people. Look at the nuances. Listen to their way they tell stories. Figure out how are they transitioning between their stories. How are they making an impact on their audience? And then I want you to study people that suck at speaking. Maybe go to Toastmasters, people that are newbies, and just look at what makes a speech bad. And don't make fun of them. Just look at what are the mistakes that people make, and how is that different than the legends? I really do believe that if you want to get better, you need to study those that are great and study those that suck, because there's little nuances that make all the difference. All right, my friend, let's go do that thing I always want you to do, and that is go to facebook.com/groups/lucrative speaker and get into a dialogue with me. Respond to some of my posts. Interact with me. Become a part of my tribe. I want to make an impact on your life. I want to get to know you personally, and that's where that happens. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, my friend, have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure and subscribe to The Sean Stevenson Show on iTunes and leave a review of the podcast. For more information and further conversation, head on over to our Facebook group, Lucrative Speaker. I'm Sean Stevenson, your professional speaking guide. I'll catch you next time on The Sean Stevenson Show. You've got a message. Let's get it to millions.